We've seen this over and over again. I repeat it here. The principal battleground in spiritual warfare is in the mind. If the enemy can get you to think incorrectly, to embrace doubts about who God is and about who Christ is, what he's done for you, who you are in him, if he can do anything to undermine the assurance of your salvation, he has succeeded to a very large extent. We talked about this before, and I mentioned it here again, and sorry for the repetition, but it just is a recurring theme. I don't know anyone that I've ever dealt with who was struggling deeply in this area of spiritual warfare and felt like they were under attack of the enemy who wasn't struggling with the assurance of their salvation. In almost every case, maybe there's an exception. I don't think I've ever seen one myself. But in almost every case, an individual is living in doubt. Well, I'm not, maybe, I don't know if I'm saved. I mean, I think maybe I was, but I've done so many things. Or maybe my faith wasn't real. This constant gnawing anxiety about the state of their soul. As I've said before, Satan can do nothing to separate you from the love of God in Christ. Read Romans 8, 28 through 38. Neither principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And Satan knows that. So his attempt is going to be to try to undermine your confidence that you are in fact saved. But he can't wrench you out of the Father's loving arms. So again, when he says put on the helmet of salvation, I think he's saying, as I mentioned here, put on the truth of Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You know you're in Christ by faith. There is therefore now no condemnation. And then, of course, the end of Romans 8. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you can strengthen your soul, your spirit, your mind with those realities, you will short-circuit a great deal of Satan's efforts to attack you. All right, at this point, it seems wise for us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't, there should be one under the chairs and around you that you're sitting on. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I want to say something about this very famous passage that unfortunately has been misunderstood and misused in a lot of ways, but since we're talking about the helmet of salvation and the covering of the truth of God over our minds, this is a good place for us to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Paul writes, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, obviously, the force and the focus of this passage is on protecting our thoughts, guarding our minds. The nature of our weapons here. Notice he says, I love the way the NIV renders this, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. In other words, we can't escape the fact that we live here on this earth. We are constantly rubbing shoulders with unbelievers and those who oppose Christ and his kingdom, but we don't have to adopt their standards, their values, their tactics, or their schemes. He says, our weapons, notice in verse 4, have divine power. It's interesting that little phrase can be rendered in several different ways. The point, however, is our weapons work. They are divinely effective. Our weapons are, as we've already been talking about, truth, righteousness, faith, the assurance of salvation, the truth of God's word, prayer, worship, and so on. Now notice the purpose of our weapons. He again says in verse 4, they are not of the